Going on, y'all? It's Cecilario Hernandez here. This is the Corpus Christi Originals Podcast. Okay, we're live. Welcome to the show, Isaac.
Thanks, man. Glad to be here.
Awesome, man. So I was introduced to you through your friend John.
John,
and he was like, you got to get Isaac on the podcast. I said, all right, let's get him on.
Dude, that's dope. Shouts to John. He's a definitely inspiration of mine for sure.
Yeah, that's cool. So what do you do? What do you do in the city? What would you like to share off the bat?
Man, I'm just a local artist, local breakdancer or b-boy. Been doing that for about between 10 to 12 years, give or take. And then I work for a local company here in town. And I always like to say I work full time and then I'm a part-time artist. So that's kind of
nice. Yeah, that's good. So do you do part-time mostly? Well, why do you do part-time mostly?
I coach part-time for a program called CC Street Dance. And so that's kind of like the part-time aspect of it. And then like my hobby is breaking. So I will, you know, when I have time outside of work, I'm mature enough to know that I got to pay bills and I got to take care of the family. But yeah, any time I have, like, it's dedicated to just progressing and breaking, or, you know, working with the class, or just traveling and competing when I can, just being a part of it, really. So, but work and life come first, and, you know, God comes first for sure. But, you know, God, work, family, all that good stuff. So artists is, when I have the opportunities to do it.
Yeah, that's cool. I find it interesting that we have hobbies, but then we have our day jobs. It's kind of like part of growing up, I guess you could say, you know.
Yeah, man. I know a lot of people who, and myself early on, like, it's hard to find that balance. And that was one of the things early on that I struggle with. But breaking has played a huge part in finding that balance. I was fortunate enough early on to find some people who are now my friends. But when I first started, when I first got into the breaking scene in Texas, I heard of these b-boys that were like writers or like professors or doctors, and those guys kind of like, or if I had never discovered them, no telling what would have happened. But they were real big on like not on finding that balance, like be a good college student and be a good b-boy, be a good husband and be a good b-boy, go and be a professional in your work and be a b-boy, like having that balance. And if I had never heard them say that early on, I might as well have like just been one of those guys who sells everything they had and tried to pursue something that may or may not have worked, which is fine. Like, that's cool to do that, and it takes a certain kind of person to do that. But I can't say it would. I've seen those end well, and I've seen them not end well. So this is kind of just it seemed to be the better option for me.
Yeah, for sure, man. It definitely provides a lot of stability for our families too. You know, like if we're married and if we have kids, that stability of having a day job or whatever, it's not only for us, it's for them. You know what I mean? It's like a selfless thing in a sense, I think.
That's yeah. Awesome. And my brother and I, we were real big on that early on. Like, I lived with my brother Jacob Murphy when I moved in, when I got back from basic training for the Army, when I was about 21, 22. And it was right around that time that I kind of discovered these inspirations. So about 20 years old, after being on my own for some time, and finding them, and then my brother we discovered that together. And it was that was kind of really where like the change kind of happened in our lives. We're like, okay, we can be professionals in whatever we're pursuing and do both. Mm-hmm. It requires more work. But I believe that, like, I guarantee if I had went all the other direction where just pursuing art the full time, I probably never would have met my wife, or I wouldn't have gotten to do some of the things I've gotten to do with work. And so it definitely, I don't know, helped educate me, so to speak, for lack of a better word.
That's cool, man. That's awesome, bro. So I'm looking at your Instagram profile. It says Texas B-boy. Like, for some people who don't know what a B-boy is or what B-boy means, can you explain maybe what that is?
Yeah, B-boy is a term that came out of New York or the Bronx back in the 70s by a DJ named Kool Herc, because he noticed that back in the 70s, they'd have these big block parties out in New York, and they would everybody would come and dance. He noticed that there was this group of people who would dance on the breaks, the break portion of the song. We call it, like, if you're a DJ, the one. So what he did is he started, like, customizing these tracks with the systems that they had back then, or mixing them to where there was more breaks, so more of those people were going down, and they would do things like what we nowadays call footwork. And he, his Kool Herc gave those people the name B-boys, like, because they danced on or B-girls, because they danced on the break. So that's really where the term came from. The most commonly used term is breakdancer, I guess.
Wow, that's so awesome. I guess, would you say it originated in the hip-hop culture?
Yeah, breaking, right? Is one of the original four elements of hip-hop.
Wow, that's cool. So there's four elements. I didn't know that. That's cool. I thought it was just music, really? You know?
No, man, yeah. There's DJing, graffiti, MCing, and b-boying. Some people over the years have tried to add more, but as far as the original four elements, it's those four.
Wow, that's cool, man. That's good to know. So B-boy. So I guess the dancing has changed since then, obviously. And then you had, like, maybe different branches of B-boying. You know what I mean? So how does that work? Do you stick to, like, one traditional thing, or do you branch off? Like, what happens there?
Right now, it's kind of hard, kind of a broad question. It has advanced in the sense that it's in many different ways, but the dance itself is, it has a foundation that make it breakdancing, and anything else, there is categories now for those. Like, my brother was what we call an all styles dancer. So it would be having multiple foundations of different styles would be what we call an all-styles dancer. But as far as, like, breaking itself or b-boying and b-girling, there's a set foundation that goes into it that makes it breaking. Anything else, there's a category for it now, if that answers your question. So
yeah, that's cool, man. So there's, like, basics of breakdancing. So I guess it's, like, stance, posture, or stuff like that, or what do you call it?
Yeah, it would be a top rock, which we start up top. We start dancing. Top rock, rocking comes from New York. That was a style of dance back in the 70s. So top rocking, footwork, and then freeze variations are the three biggest foundations. Now there's other ones that, as you progress, you start laying more foundations that they get a little bit more technical.
Crazy. And is the music that you break to, is it a certain tempo, or is it a different types of tempo?
There's different tempos within it, and there's different genres within the breaking music itself. You have more of, like, a funk based old school, like 70s, like James Brown kind of feel, where it's, wow, like, real bass heavy, or you'll all the way up to I mean, now there's a lot of, like, electro kind of not inspired themes, or like synthesizer, I guess. And then you have, like, my favorite, like, the boom bap, like 90s, early 2000s kind of rap that, you know, people like Rakim and Eric B, and there's a ton of other names that, I mean, Wu-Tang, genres like that have we would consider, you know, breaking music. So it's very diverse, which is pretty cool.
Damn, that's awesome, dude. Okay, cool. So that's the hip hop. That's the music style. So Texas B-boy. That's like specific. So yes, what's the difference? So we want to speak on that a little bit.
Texas B-boys, man. I don't know if a lot of people know, but here in Texas, we literally have the best B-boys and B-girls in the world. Like, there's New York in the United States alone. There's New York, California, Texas. Well, now Florida. So Florida's got a pretty good scene too. But in Texas, those are going to be the four states that kind of have the best. Now, and there's, I say that, but there's places like Arizona, Colorado, they got world champs too. But as far as like overall scenes where the majority of our breaker, our B-boys or B-girls here are at a high competitive level, I would say Texas has the best in not only the world, but in the U.S. I mean, not only U.S., but in the world as well, like collectively.
Wow, that's awesome. It's
so competitive here.
Yeah. Has it been like that long? I mean,
yeah, man. So in the early 2000s, Texas kind of started blowing up, or in the late 90s, early 2000s, the cities like Houston and Dallas and, man, who was it? It's Houston, Dallas, really, and then Austin. I hope people don't get mad at my friends, but like the bigger cities started producing these crews that started competing in places like California, or really venturing all over the world. Mm-hmm. And it put Texas on notice. So when, the cameras started coming out here a little bit more, and Texas really blew up around that era. A lot of us fans of it call like that early 90s to mid 2000s generation like the golden era of breaking, and Texas was at the forefront of it. I mean, inspiring guys across the world, because that was when the internet was like kind of blowing up, and this is before my time. I'm a fan, so kind of a
right, nerd.
But yeah, we've had a reputation here for a really long time. So I put that in there just because I'm proud to be from Texas in general, but to be a Texas B-boy, it comes with a little bit of expectation. You know, if I go to another place from Texas, they're looking to see, they expect a certain level, even at the amateur level, which is what I consider myself at.
Wow, man. Somebody set the standard really early. That's crazy.
Yeah, man. There's a lot of big names that people all over the world, I mean, recognize. And even now, some of the younger guys that are coming up, they're getting those same opportunities because of that generation.
Yeah, man. So, and it's like nowadays they can learn like off of YouTube, I guess you can say, you know what I mean? And that's where I guess we can introduce like you're a coach for CC yeah. Street Dance. Okay. Okay. How long you've been a coach out here, or what's going on there?
So my brother Jacob, he started, man, he's always had a heart for teaching, and I can't really talk about the class because without giving him a shout out, since I've known him, and this is brother in Christ, by the way, I say brother because our kids don't know that that's Uncle Murph or Uncle Isaac. So, you know, like it's just,
yeah.
Or that's my dad's friend. Like they know us as Uncle Isaac or Uncle Murph. So, but my brother Jacob, he's always had a heart for teaching, even before he really should have been teaching, to be honest. I love you, Jim.
Yeah.
he's always had a heart for it. And over the years when we were living together, we would go out to like people's garages or like Cole Park, and we would teach, he would teach for free. And I would kind of take his son, who was little at the time, off to the side, and I would teach him some basics.
Mm-hmm.
And Jacob would, even though he's an all-styles dancer, breaking has a really solid foundation, a very, very it's probably one of the more out of the street dances one of the more solid foundations, so it's easier to teach early on. There's a lot more verbiage and things like that that make it better to teach. And so he would teach these kids at the park, and then after a few years of doing that, he pitched the idea to Oso Recreation Center here in Corpus. They bought the idea, and that was in 2016. And I came on as an assistant coach, just almost like a volunteer, just to support my bro. And that's being in the culture for as long as I had, even at that point, that's just what we do. Like you give back when you can. And I wasn't, I didn't have a whole lot of involvement other than showing up on Tuesdays and Thursdays and helping the kids out. And then fast forward till, I guess right before COVID, I was getting ready to kind of walk away from the class. And, and I ended up staying and luckily I did, because I my brother's like I said, we believe in being a professional on and off the dance floor, and right. He got a promotion at work and to better his career, and was gonna have to give up the class, and my heart was kind of leading me to take over or start my own at another rec center. And he called me one night. I was like, hey man, I got some bad news. And I was like, okay, well, I wanted to talk to you about something too. Mm-hmm. And he was like, well, I gotta give up the class. And I was like, oh, perfect. Like, I'll take it. He was like, yeah. What? I was like, yeah, I was going to call you and ask if I could fly, if I could keep the umbrella street dance and just go open up down the street at another rec center. I was like, but now I don't have to. Like, you're leaving. So transfer everything into my name and see you, buddy. Let me know when you want to come and help out.
Wow, man. That's cool, bro. Yeah. So are you in, you're in two places or you're in one place or?
We're in one place right now. So August 1st, we'll be transitioning to the Lindale Recreation Center.
Okay.
It's going to be our new home. We were at Oso for about 8 years, and we always kind of had our eye on Lindale. It's a little bit more suited for breakdancing, and it's got a little bit more to offer for dancers. And right. So it's the same company. We work with CC Parks and Rec. And
yeah, it's
facilities. Hopefully the goal is to open Oso back up by the end of the year and have Jacob run that, and I'll be running Lindale. But time will tell.
Yeah, for sure. My brother and I went to Lindale when we were younger too, man. It seems to be a good place. That's awesome. That's cool, man. So at Lindale, so you work with the city on that, like, and you charge? Okay, so you charge a rate, right? Do you charge a rate, or how does that work?
The city. One good thing about partnering with the city is they get to handle a lot of the business aspects, which isn't. Jacob and I very well could. We're managers by trade, but it gives us a little bit of freedom to not have to worry about that. And so they charge a flat rate monthly. We don't have to be the bad guys and say, hey, we're charging this rate, you know, or whatever for the kids. It's the city gets to do that. And then I guess the class is funded through the city.
Cool. So, well, that's pretty cool, man. I mean, it seems like with the city, like, you can definitely get recommendations as far as like pushing kids that way, you know, if they're interested in
it. Yeah, they're very helpful when it comes to like getting the word out or giving us opportunities to take the kids to perform, or just giving us gigs that connect us with the city. So they've been very helpful over the years. That's the reason we didn't really have a early desire to venture off and do our own thing, like a lot of people try to do.
Yeah, it's difficult. It's difficult, man. Like money wise, like getting a place, and then it's very difficult to start out. But once you get the ball rolling, you know, it seems like it rolls pretty good. It's awesome, man. Yeah. So you have that class, and we find you at CC_street_dance, right?
Yes.
On Instagram,
Facebook. Yeah, and the Instagram, it hasn't been updated in a while. I'm in the process of giving it a facelift. You know, being a single parent coach. No, I'm just kidding. But I'm still getting the feel for all the social media. But the Facebook is pretty up to date, and that's kind of the best place to find that. And like I said, we teach foundational breakdancing to the kids. That's the way to keep it going. Throughout our travels, like that is every OG or every b-boy in a scene or in a city that has a big scene. They always say start with the kids, and that's kind of what we're doing and continuing that tradition to get introduce the youth to it.
Cool. So is that, so I guess that's a way to spread the culture. Is that why y'all do that?
Yeah. You basically grow the ideas that you grow the scene, you know, from scratch. You get the kids into it. They get their friends into it. You know, you get the kids into it. They grow up doing it. You continue cultivating them as they progress. And then, you know, they'll bring their friends in, or they'll spread the word, or more kids will come, and you just play an active role in getting the youth involved. Because although like you can start this at any age, we've had parents of kids like do the class and stuff like that. The idea is that it is typically targeted for youth, you know, and they're the ones that help that will keep the scene going, having kids interested in it over the years.
Oh, that's cool, man. Dude, that's awesome. That's pretty cool what you're doing. Yeah, man, that's awesome. So you personally, you like to travel, or what's going on with you, like, outside of
traveling was a dream come true. Like, a cool aspect about, or my, every b-boy has a cool story, you know, and I don't think mine's any better, any worse than anybody else's, but me personally, as far as hobbies go, as I listened to your podcast with that, I believe his name is Eric Franco, the
okay, only yeah, Yeah,
and, like there was a lot of similarities in his starting where you're. There's like a rebel spirit that I could relate to with him, like mm-hmm. where it's like you don't want to settle for the norm, like you don't. And, but your parents and like life is kind of coming at you too. And so when I was 18, my mom told me I had to move out, and it was kind of one of those things. Back then BMX was like going to be my ticket, right? Like BMX was going to be it. And, that year in high school, I saw the America's Best X Crew was popular, season two with, and, Mike Murder from Super Crew, a breakdance crew from Vegas, which I've been fortunate enough to meet some of them. And one of my homies is in that crew. So it's kind of come full circle. But Mike Murder, he was like, on an interview, he's like, man, we've just been traveling around the world breakdancing for the last 10 years. And that kind of, it didn't change everything right away, but it left something in the back of my head where I was like, okay, this is going to sound stupid, but this is kind of where I relate to like Eric is like, I'm like, okay, if BMX doesn't work, because I know the time's ticking with my mom and my family and the lack of support that I have back home. And if BMX doesn't work, breakdancing, I'm just going to go and start learning. And I did a little bit when I was a kid, but nowhere near like what it would take. And there was no scene here. So maybe if I did have a Corpus Christi street dance class to go to, I could have been humbled a lot earlier, you know, and like, okay, that's actually a lot harder than I thought it was going to be. you see that these kids come in these classes and they're like, oh, I might be the best dancer at school, but I'm not here. And that's kind of how it was. Yeah. Then. I had that realization later, but he said that and that was in the back of my head. And I always wanted to travel, but being like a kid and not, and being a naive teenager or your youth, like the only people I ever saw travel was my cousins in the military, or sports athletes, you know what I mean? Like my family, they were very middle class, but we might go to San Antonio or Dallas from time to time, but maybe like we save up and we go to California for a cousin's wedding or something, but that was like once in every 10, 20 years kind of deal. And so it wasn't common. And I didn't know, I thought you had to be like, okay, you had to be a professional. Like, and for me, like the thought was never, I'll just go get a good job and travel. Like I didn't even, like, I'm like, oh, I have to join the military if I want to travel, or I got to be good at sports or, you know, extreme sports. And BMX fell through senior year. It just didn't work out. I didn't, like Eric, I didn't have the time to be able to dedicate that I needed to. And right around that time, I found those inspirations with breaking. I was like, all right, well, I'm just going to dive into this. At least one, it's free for now. I can do it at my apartment, or I can do it at the park. And I'll just work and I'll work and I'll practice when I can. And for between 18 and 20, breaking was like the only positive thing that I had. I'm kind of getting off track, but I say that because those foundational years where it just, it doesn't look like things are ever going to get better. Like I said, the only positive thing that I had. And I was still kind of holding on to that goal that this could get me to travel. Right. And I'm working as a busboy, and I got some crappy friends that I'm living with, and things are just not going well. But then I discovered those inspirations that were like, yo, be a professional, do both, work harder, you know? And they were speaking these things to my imagination. And I was like, and they made it possible. And so I did that. Like I started better in my life. I joined the military, Army, National Guard. I started reading books. I started, just improving myself. I came back to the Lord, praise God. That's the best thing I ever did, by the way. Breaking and everything else will always come second to my relationship with Christ. But I started, those inspirations definitely helped achieve some personal goals, you know, and they were like, it was pointing me in the right way. Well, then just sticking through it and realizing, okay, like this is, I found breaking the culture, and I found that, like, because here in Corpus, it was very club based. It was very club based, and nobody was really traveling and competing. When I discovered the competition side of things, I was like, yo, this is it. I want to be a part of that. Like all the heavy. I discovered the Texas. That was when I discovered Texas had the best in the world. Up until about 20 years old, I had no idea. Mm-hmm. And I went to my first competition in San Antonio, and I was like, I don't know, the scaredest I've ever been. Because there was like one or two B-boys here in Corpus that were pretty good at a good level. Mm-hmm. But everybody else was just dudes at the club, just like, you know, like former OGs that are still enjoying it. And nothing wrong with that. Like, but the level of competition was like, everybody was good out there. And that was really what introduced me to the scene that I needed to be in to make those dreams come true. You know what I mean? Like the competition scene that Mike Murder was talking about a few years prior. And it, that was kind of where it kind of took off. And then I discovered I had a crewmate who was traveling, and I just had to bug him enough and prove that I was kind of, you know, serious about it to get him to take me. And, I've been fortunate enough to travel quite a bit. You know, I've been to California and competed out there multiple times. I've been pretty much everywhere west, like, you know, Seattle, Colorado, Arizona, New Mexico a handful of times, Nevada. I haven't really been anywhere east yet, but it's coming. But yeah, man, it was really a combination of all that, finding the right inspirations and that rebel spirit, like that Eric was like, yo, I don't just want to work a 9-to-5, like, and I don't just want to do that, and that's fine. And I have cousins and family that do that, and I work a 9-to-5 now, but right. I did back then. But man, I want to get out. I want to compete against, even if I'm getting smoked. Like, I want to compete with the best. Like, not. I want to go out and have these experiences that, you know, I'm not gonna forget. And that's kind of been a huge blessing being able to do that.
Dude, that's an awesome journey. I like how you keep referring to what Eric was saying, man. That's pretty cool that people can relate to that, you know, because I'm not that type of person either. Like, I'm not looking for that 8-to-5, 40-year job. Like I said, there 40 years. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. That's people do that. They do that. That's fine. It's just like, My personality is not like that. Like, I'm weird. I'm different. I'm socially awkward. So it's like difficult for me to find a job where I can be there. You know what I mean? And just kind of be myself, I guess, what I can say, you know. And I was in music a lot, and I even thought like, okay, the band's gonna take me somewhere, like in high school. You know what I mean? That was my dream. Yeah. That was what I wanted to do. But then, like, you get it, like you said, like a dose of reality. Like, okay, this is, I need a backup plan. I need to do something, you know, because Eric is like, he's like a firefighter or something. That was like, I freaked out on us, like, for real. But that's cool though. It's cool though. That's like his backup plan or something. That's pretty cool, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, dude. Wow. I was in the Army. I was in the Army National Guard too. And that was kind of like similar thing. Like, I just, I was Army infantry. I never deployed. That's a whole nother podcast. But I did. I lived the weekend warrior life. But, like, I'd literally go from like training in the field like one weekend in San Antonio, learning, like, shooting machine guns on the weekends, and I'd come back and I'd have a hat just like yours, like backwards, and I'm in a, you know, this is my Sunday gear right here. Yeah. And I'm like flying out to California or wherever to go compete. It's just two different people would be like, you're in the military? Or I've had that happen recently. Like, you're a veteran? I'm like, yeah, why? Like, no reason? I'm like, yeah, okay.
Yeah. That's cool, man. It's like, you can't have that side gig where you're doing something that people don't know. Cause I tell people, like, at work, I'm a truck driver, bro.
And oh, really?
Like, yeah, I drive. I'm a truck driver. I haul natural gas, like liquid, like propane and butane and stuff like that.
Oh, cool.
And I tell people, like, my side stuff, they're like, what, really? I'm like, yeah. That's what I do.
Part of me likes it. Like, I like the, like, unless you know me, like, you probably wouldn't know, like, I was in the military, or the people in the military had no idea. Like, some of them, my close friends did, because I had no choice. They'd be like, well, come hang out next weekend. I'm like, I can't, like, I'm going out to wherever to go compete here. Or, hey man, can I come crash at your couch? There's a competition like down the street from you, you know. But a lot of people never would have guessed. And I always like that, like, double life.
cool.
you know, like,
yeah,
certain people know, certain people don't. And even now I have people like, I don't tell certain things to certain groups, and then they find out and they're like, and I have to have that like, oh, I'm sorry, I forgot to tell you. Yeah.
Like, this too, you know? Yeah. Hey, same thing, like Eric, we were talking with Eric on the podcast, and he was like sushi photography or something, and that guy didn't know that he owned only wolves. And then Eric, same thing, like,
yeah.
Sushi was like, how come he didn't tell me? And he's like, well, I'm not gonna be over here like giving my card out and stuff like that.
Yeah, funny, you know, like at work, like sometimes I have to wear a suit and tie, and then and then somebody like says something about like breaking, and they're like, hey man, you're, like the people who know me, they're like the people I've been around this whole time, professional, just like, you know, to whom it may concern type emails, and you know, and they're like breakdancing. I'm like, oh yeah, I just have a hobby. Like, it's just my side thing.
Yeah. And then they hear you talk about it for like an hour. They're like, really? It's just your hobby? Yeah. You know what I mean?
When they see my Instagram and they're like, hobby, like there's no way.
Like, yeah, man. That's funny, man. That's cool, right? Yeah, so yeah, people listening, check him out. Isaac_Cruz_Sanchez on Instagram. That's pretty cool, man. Awesome, dude. Is there anything else you'd like to share? I know we've been talking for about 30 minutes or so.
Yeah. Let me see, man. Covered where I got started, where I'm at with the class. Man, I just the local, let me ask you this, like, man, I want to say a shout out to like the local artist scene. Like, this is one of the reasons I wanted to connect with local artists or local people like-minded people. Like,
yeah,
is breaking has been so dead here for a long time, or the cats that are doing it, they keep it kind of underground, or there's no connection to the local art community. And right, my thing is like, yo, like let's build Corpus Christi street dance. We're here. Like we've got, my brother and I got like 10, 12 years again in the game, which is nothing compared to some of the OGs, but right, like I'm proud to be from Corpus. I'm proud to be a local. I want to make more of an effort to be more involved in the local community. People like I love seeing like what you're doing with the Corpus Christi Originals, the homies at Produce, people like John, who are just contributing. And man, shouts to the graffiti heads here in Corpus.
Yeah.
Like when I was in those days, like living with my brother, where before kids and wives, and it really was just work and breaking, and now there's a whole lot of other things. I would longboard downtown every Saturday day. And this is right after the club scene in Corpus died, like Stingers and all those places went away. And it was a freaking ghost town, dude.
Oh, wow.
And I have pictures on my phone that like the old, like Ritz Theater, like everything is just shut down. Like I said, ghost town. It's the best way I could describe it. And it was cool, but I would go out to these places, and I'd go out to like Albuquerque, New Mexico. It's my home away from home, or Dallas or Austin. And I see their downtown scene and the culture and the art and the artists just thriving. And the graffiti heads here in Corpus have like taken over, and they've beautified like downtown Corpus. I just had a homie we brought down named Dang from the Brothers, a really big crew here in Texas. And I was able to give him a tour downtown. And I was like, yo, the homie Dask painted that. Yo, the homie Adrian painted that over there. Yo, my buddy Matt Clark, he's the manager of this coffee shop. Like, let me go get you some food and some roast, like some good local coffee. And I was telling him, like, this 8 to 10 years ago, this place was dead. Like, there was nothing here. Like the, was it Dokyo and Kill, and I went to high school with him. Like, it's so, it makes me so proud to see that change, you know. I'm a little bit older, and my kid gets to grow up with that as Corpus, that kind of Corpus, you know. I grew up in the 90s where we didn't have a skate park here until I was already too old to enjoy it, you know. So the things going on in the city, like it's huge. The graffiti heads, the music, like there's some rappers here that are making names for themselves. My goal with breaking is to put us in those conversations. So when people come on, they're like, yo, my kid just got, I had to go pick up my kid from CC Street Dance. Like, or I got, we're hitting up the R Walk. Like, you know, he's going to go cipher with his friends. Like, those are the kind of conversations we're trying to be in. And dude, I just want to thank you for the opportunity to get to say all this. And I mean, a lot of people have no idea about all the stuff we've done and that we've been here, but yeah, man, we've been here and we want to help cultivate, you know, the city.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good to hear, man. Yeah. And I'm glad that this is a platform where we can spread that word, man. For sure. For sure. I'm glad and happy that it's out there. And to be honest, man, when I started the clothing brand before I started the podcast, I was amazed at how many people wanted to represent the city, you know, mm-hmm. because I was one of those guys like, forget Corpus. It's trash. And there's nothing to do here or whatever.
I haven't been here, you know?
Yeah.
I haven't been either. So, now I see Corpitos everywhere, man. I picked up like hats from you before I went to like Albuquerque or like out of state because I wanted to rep. The original Old English one that was solid black, like the Compton one.
Yeah,
I have it at home. I have a picture in Albuquerque. One of the road trips we took, me and my brother went out to Albuquerque. We did a road trip from Albuquerque and stopped like in El Paso, jammed with the homies. Mm-hmm. We went out to Albuquerque. We went up to Santa Fe, Las Cruces. Just did the New Mexico tour. Went out to Phoenix, Arizona, and in all a bunch of pictures, I'm wearing that hat. I gotta find you one.
Cool, man. That's awesome, bro. Yeah, I think Produce, they do the Corpus hat. I do the Corpitos hat. I didn't want to do the Corpus hat because I knew he was doing it, so I didn't. I just, you know, let him sell them. That's cool. That's fine with me. So that's another thing too. Like, I know there's other brands out here, and I want to work together with them. I don't really don't want to be like against them either. You know what I mean? Because I'm part of the city, just like they are. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? And my brand is a little bit different than like Made in Corpus Christi or Crooked Christi. You know, they're still brands.
How did you get into that?
I was kind of looking for different, to be honest, I was looking for different ways like to make a stream of income along with the truck driving, because I had some money to put somewhere to make another stream of income. So that's, I came upon like doing a brand, you know, and then specifically for the city, that's where I landed to want to hopefully it would be successful, you know. And then, like I said, when I started the brand, it was like, oh, shoot, there are some people that want to represent the city and that do like the brand. And that's where it became successful for me, you know. But that's where it started, to be honest. I had no, like, when I wanted to start a brand, it didn't start like, oh, let me do one for the city.
Yeah,
it was like, how can I make a successful brand? And I was thinking of bigger brands like for the United States, but then I was just like, okay, I need to start small, start with my city, see if I can create one that way. And that's honestly where it started, to be honest. And just the journey has been cool because, like I said, I'm meeting people like you in the city, and it makes me, and it helps. It's kind of an encouragement for me to want to do it more because I'm not the only one, you know?
Like you were at points? Because I know I have.
Like, what do you mean? Like, by myself?
Yeah, where you're like, man, am I the only mm-hmm. one, like, here in this area or this niche?
No. I mean, no, because I know that there's, like, if there's one niche, there's going to be more than one people. You know what I mean? Because every niche can be different. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like my brand has, like, skulls, English letters and stuff like that.
Yeah.
There's another brand called Made in Corpus Christi, and they don't have like skulls in English. It's more like nicer. I don't know how you explain it, but it's what I'm saying is there. You can still have two brands in one city to still work. Like there can be your dance company, and there could be another dance company. Absolutely. You know what I mean? In the same city.
We've had that, like our friends, a lot of the coaches early on that came on with Jacob, a lot of them ventured off and made their own class. And we did gigs with them. Like it was never great. When a lot of those places faded, or there's just been seasons where I felt excluded from my own community. And it's like, man,
oh,
like,
wow.
Yeah. And that's not a knock on anybody. It's just, factions, I guess, of it. And you're like, man, I'm just trying to
to
bring some attention down here. We brought in famous B-boys, and because of some politics, like nobody showed up, you know what I mean? Things like that.
Yeah.
it's all love now, you know. It's all love now, but there has been times where I'm like, I've gone seasons where I haven't found people like you or people like, you know, Eric or some of the people you've had, where there's that rebel spirit, like, yo, I want to do the 9 to 5, but I also want to do this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, has it been hard finding those kind of people? Or?
Not really. Especially like on Instagram, cause I market there a lot. There's uh-huh. a lot of people on Instagram that want to represent the city and do what they do. And those, and when I started looking for people for the podcast, that's where I started looking. So I found a lot of people with a similar spirit, I guess you could say, that are wanting to uplift the city. And at the same time, there are those people that are kind of like, again, like not trying to help out. I don't know. I understand what you're saying. Like a competition in a sense, it's like competition to where they want to win. You know what I mean? Yeah. And they're playing the wrong game with us. You know what I mean? The game that we're playing is to uplift everything all together and not just one person over the other, you know? It's definitely good to find somebody that in that's like-minded in that sense. You know what I mean?
For sure.
Yeah. So
how'd you meet John, if you don't mind me asking?
He messaged me on the brand, on the Corpus Christi Originals page. Yeah.
Everybody, man. Like,
yeah.
Everybody. I was out in Dallas one time at a jam out there, and almost nobody like knew people from Corpus. Like, almost nobody in the scene like knew B-boys from Corpus, and I was used to it. So this is like 7-8 years ago, and this homie from Houston named Baby Girl. My wife knows that's her name. I'm not calling her Baby Girl, okay? Like, just, you know, married, happily married. Her name is B-Girl, Baby Girl. So, but she's got one of the bigger, like, brands, hip-hop brands in Houston and Texas. So she does a lot of travel. She's a breaker, so she knows where to go and where to set up and stuff like that. And she was there, and she was asking me. She's like, "Where are y'all from?" Corpus. It was after the jam. And she's like, "Oh, cool. Do you know my boo, John? And I was like, "What the hell?" Like, and I was like, "How do you know John? She's like, "Oh, he's my boo, and this and that." This is like 8 years ago, before he even met his wife. So I'm not trying to get him in trouble. It was cool. And I was like, "Yeah, Houston." And I've gone to a handful of other cities, and they're like, "Yo, tell John, if you see John, tell him I said what's up." I'm like, "What the fuck?" All right. That's dope.
Yeah. It's cool because that's your community. That's your little community, man. That's awesome, man. Ooh, yeah. So he found us on. Yeah, he found us on Corpus Christi. Huh?
No, I was just.
He found us on Corpus Christi Originals, and he was saying some nice stuff about you. And he was like, "Yeah," because I thought he was interested in being on the podcast because he was asking.
I'm sure he is.
Yeah, I asked him. He's like, "No, I'm actually asking for my friend of mine and he was talking about you." I was like, "Yeah, let's get him on." So glad you're here, man.
Dude, thanks, man. And shouts to John, man. That's man, what he was bringing to Corpus was like, I mean, he's got me, but he's a little bit older. He's got like 10 years on me. But I just remember like the events that he was doing, whether it was the sneaker stuff or he always included all the elements of hip hop the right way. You know, like he brought the right DJs. He brought the right he did it like right. Like he brought the right music. He brought the right sneakerheads.
Yeah.
He brought the right brands. It was all locally, you know, catered toward local culture. And that group, I mean, I think he had Curse Collective or even like the homies from Public Zoo, like those guys were like the realness. And there wasn't, I remember thinking that there's not enough of those guys here. Right.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of like for me, the goal locally is like, to be a name like that where, you know, we're breaking is like that. But he was, I remember being like, I want to be like John, like he's professional. He's in the military. Like, he's what I want to be when I grow up. Right.
Yeah, man. We have to do it. You know what I mean? It's almost like if nobody does it, then we have to do it. You know, we have to spread that culture. Like you're saying, man, for sure, bro. That's awesome. Yeah. Shout out to John. I thought it was John. That's pretty cool. That's a pretty cool name. So how do we find you on Instagram, or how do we get in touch with you, or say if we have a kid or something?
Yeah. you can find me at my Instagram. I believe it's Isaac_Cruz_Sanchez. It's a picture of me breaking. And like you said, it says, you know, a follower of Christ first and foremost, and then husband, father, B-boy, Texas B-boy. Shout out. And that's really like my breaking. Like, that's my art gallery. Like, that's my practice footage. That's my competition. Some of the traveling I do. Some of the behind the scenes stuff. My son, he's 4, and he's like, he's got some one liners that are pretty funny that I'll highlight on there.
Awesome. Yeah.
And then if you want the page, if you have anybody interested in joining the Corpus Christi street dance class, just the Facebook Corpus_CC_street dance is where to find me. And if you want to follow me and look for some dope memes on Facebook and some sarcastic remarks, like, find me on Facebook. I believe it's the same picture. So
awesome, yeah, man.
Thanks for having me, bro.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for coming on, bro. Thanks for coming on, man. Yeah. Shout out. I mean, thanks to your family for backing you up, and I got a family too. And follower of Christ myself, I read the Bible a lot.
Hey, man, so every day, man. It's the word.
Yeah. Yeah, that's my true wisdom right there. Amen. And yeah, man, that's cool, bro. Well, thanks a lot for, if nothing else, man, thanks for coming on.
Dude, yeah, man, let's link, let's grab lunch sometime, man. Let's connect for sure.
Sounds cool. Yeah, sounds good, man. That's so thanks a lot. Have a good one.
You too, brother. Peace.
Okay.